Welcome back, folks, to another episode of We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppy Head Productions. As always, I am your fabulous host, Sean. We found him in a corner somewhere on the gutter in a dark alley. Danny, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good there, but I must admit, I have a confession to make, not only to you, but to our dozen of fans out there.
Half dozen-ish.
I was rounding up to the closest dozen.
Gotcha.
Making it sound a little more impressive.
Fair enough.
Especially the ones that, you know, gave me a hard time for paying money in the theaters to watch the Fast and the Furious movie.
Oh, we know who this is. It's okay.
I did something worse, I guess, according to him.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, like...
We're going to lose one out of six fans.
I know. We're gonna not be able to round it up to the nearest dozen. It's going to be rounded down to the nearest half dozen.
Yeah, to zero.
So, I decided to watch the third installment of the XXX franchise, having unseen the first two movies in the franchise.
Oh, so you've seen the first two already?
No, I had not. Okay. I just skipped straight ahead to number three.
Oh, jeez.
But in my defense, I did so because one of the other actors in the movie is pretty badass. Donnie Yen, who, if you've seen Rogue One, he's the blind possible Jedi. At one point is repeating, "I am one with the Force is one with me."
Yeah.
And he also plays in a trio of movies based on the life of the guy that taught Bruce Lee karate called Ip Man.
That is a great movie.
Isn't it?
So Ip
Man is amazing, and his scenes in Rogue One were pretty awesome. So based on those two things, you know what, I'm like, even if the movie sucks, there's going to be some pretty awesome kung fu in it. And so, you know, I turned the movie on, and the opening scene features Samuel L. Jackson talking to a guy, trying to recruit him in. I guess the guy's a soccer player in real life. And then shit just explodes. And I'm like, all right, this isn't looking so bad. And then the next scene, Donnie Yen's breaking into some sort of government meeting where they have, like, all the heads of the government, and he's kicking ass and sliding under things and free falling, and just, I'm like, all right.
Oh boy, sounds good.
So far, two of the first scenes are pretty awesome. I might have chose poorly, like misjudged this movie.
Yep.
And then Vin Diesel comes on the screen, and it's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, he's scaling like a giant TV tower in some Spanish-speaking country, and the bottom of it is surrounded by federales, mm-hmm. and they're, like, encouraging him to climb down. And I'm like, that doesn't seem very realistic. They seem more like a shoot first, ask you to come down later kind of society.
Yeah, I would agree on that piece. They're not going to ask you to come down gently.
And so he takes something out of the antenna, and then he turns around, and he has a... throws on a pair of skis and grabs ski poles off his back.
Okay.
But they're in the middle of the jungle. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And so he jumps off the tower, kind of goes a ways down a cliff, and there's an angled embankment of dirt that somehow he manages to just land on. No, like, bend to the knees, no tuck and roll. Just the force, I guess, of the inertia of the downhill accepts the full blow of his falling.
Yes.
And so then he's just slaloming through the trees on dirt, on skis. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty bad. And he gets down to the bottom, and he comes to a bus stop, and there's a group of kids there, and he's high-fiving all the kids, and they give him a skateboard.
Yeah, high five. Good job.
And meanwhile,
man.
Like, he so keeps cool. looking at this thing on his arm that's like a giant timer, and it's like DEFCON 1, and it has it's a countdown. And so he's jumps on the skateboard, and he's riding down, and there's a part where he's coming up on a bus. And he does a thing where he jumps on the side of the bus, rides the side of the bus, and lands back on the ground. Mm-hmm. But the CGI on that is possibly the worst CGI I've ever seen in a movie. Ever. I mean, like, the shit, like, back in the... Even, like, the Star Wars, original Star Wars CGI is far better than the shit that they did in this movie.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
And, you know, they show him going through the town, like, high-fiving people. I mean, his character is just the character from Fast and the Furious, but instead of, like, driving cars, he's a extreme athlete. So he's like the extreme athlete with the heart of gold that all the dudes want to be and all the chicks want to be with, but you know, in a not threatening way.
That sounds pretty terrible from the sound.
And so like he gets to his goal and like just as he's fiddling with something and everyone's like kind of getting antsy what he's doing, and right literally as soon as it hits zero, of course, you know, he gets it to work, and all of a sudden all the town that he's every TV screen the town he's in goes from being scrambled to the soccer match being on, and everyone's happy, and there's much celebration. And I realize, oh my god, this movie, the rest of the movie is just gonna suck.
And you watched the whole, the rest of it, didn't you?
Because I wanted to see more Donnie Yen, to be fair.
Fair enough.
Like, and there's a couple scenes, and it's one of those movies where there's an episode of South Park where they make fun of Family Guy and how the Family Guy jokes are written, where it's written by, like, dolphins or whales, and they just pick random words to make random jokes.
Yes.
This feels like the they just reached their hands into a hat that had a piece of paper that had every cliche, like, action movie line on there. And they just put it on, put it on the board in the order that they pulled it out of. Perfect. I mean, the only line they didn't use was the ever popular, "I'm too old for this shit." Which at that point it's like just go all in.
Yeah, you might as well. Like Samuel should have just like came up from the explosion, just been like, "I'm too old for this shit."
Exactly. At least I would have had some respect that you've used like the line that everyone knows that you have no original lines in this movie.
Exactly.
And so like, you know, as the plot progresses, it's just like, oh, imagine that. The bad guys aren't the bad guys. They're actually the good guys. And the good guys are the bad guys. And it's the government that's behind it. And,
Oh my God,
they're setting up to make more. They're setting up to, well, not just the government, but the NSA, the shady government.
No, they're just like peeping Toms of the government.
But, you know, I have a friend, his wife, you know, just loves Vin Diesel and will watch anything that he is in.
Yeah.
And they ended up watching it like the next day, and he posted about it on Facebook just talking about how garbage this movie is and how much his wife hated it. So even if you're a huge fan of Vin Diesel or just anybody in this movie, just, you know, I took one for the team. You guys should all be thanking me, looking at me as your hero. I took one for the team. I jumped on the grenade. I stepped in front of that bullet for you guys and watched this horrible, god-awful movie.
You say you jump on a grenade, but I think you literally went to go find a grenade to go jump on versus trying to save us. I don't think any reasonable person went and saw this.
Yeah, I think you had me there at reasonable. But but that the name Donnie Yen on the movie was such an attraction. It's like, you know, you're a fish swimming through, and you see something floating there, and you bite it, and you realize it's a hook, and you're just, oh, fuck it. I'm in for the ride now. There's nothing I can do. I'm gonna die with this fish, and that's Donnie Yen. He was the bait on the hook, and I was stuck.
Yeah, you were. You got plucked out of the water like a little bitch.
I mean, the only thing I can really say that's positive about the movie is it's relatively short. It's only like an hour and a half long, so it wasn't like I committed to something like, you know, the last Transformers that was like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
I can't wait for that adventure this summer.
Yay! Transformers got serious and are trying to make a political point.
Oh, is that what this is all about? Optimus Prime gets evil and whatnot.
I don't know, but I watched the last. I did actually watch the last one. I'm making fun of myself because I did watch the last one because I wanted to see what's going on in the trailer for the new one. And it was the first one with Marky Mark was 2 hours and 45 minutes long, and it got all like political and serious as opposed to just like goofy and robots with giant swinging balls and racist accents.
Yeah. Those were the good old days. But they did have the Dinobots, though.
For less time than Donnie Yen was in XXX.
Oh, no, I believe it. I'm not saying it was a good excuse. I mean, but those Dinobots were just pretty fucking badass, though.
They were pretty badass, but, again, the Donnie Yen of... Oh, my God, the Dinobots are in this movie. Okay, where the fuck are the Dinobots? Oh, they're the Dinobots.
Yeah,
where'd the Dinobots go? Oh, I guess they're done now.
They're extinct. They had their time.
but even then, like, they're, like, fraction of a second that they are in this movie does not stop them from being, like, prominently teased in the new trailer. Like, they know what we want. And we're going to fall for it anyways.
I will say, we have low standards on this fucking show, but you know what? We're not going to go watch Ninja Turtles anymore. That was the line.
Right. It's like, you know what? You'll suck us in for Transformers, but I mean, no more Ninja Turtles.
Did you watch XXX like on Netflix or something?
Yeah, I did watch it on Netflix. All right. On DVD. Like, on Netflix, but still Netflix. Wait, I didn't pay additional
Netflix,
money.
You have Netflix DVD?
I also have a home phone line.
You, man?
I still have a home phone. Well, because
Jesus.
I want to watch new movies. Like, they have shitty movies most of the time on Netflix Instant. Like, I want to be that guy complaining, like, oh my god, there's shit to watch. Like, I'm having the movie Hidden Figure sent to me tomorrow.
Oh boy.
That looks good about black people.
I didn't even know they actually still sent out DVDs, to be honest. I'm not even gonna lie.
They do, and they step. It sucks, because, like, they separated the companies, so, like, now, like, The rating system for the Netflix, because of the, you know, Amy Schumer shitty stand up where everyone gave it like low ratings, and that's why Netflix has the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
But there's a loophole to that. If you have the DVDs, you can go on there and still give it. They still have the star rating for the DVDs.
Yeah. Nice.
So you can ignore the streaming rating system and go straight to the DVD stream rating system. And still give it a low rating to make yourself feel better. Russell or Jimmy's over that way.
Oh, boy. I'm just shocked by the DVD. I don't know who you are. Thought you were hit.
I'm old, man. I'm old. I know. That's all it is.
I get it. Jesus. All right. Anybody got a shotgun? I got to take old Yeller back now.
he's my dog, Mama. I'll do it.
Yep. I don't want to hurt Jody anymore. I'll take you out. We'll all be out of the misery now.
All dozens of us.
I guess I'm gonna have to fly solo or get somebody else.
You can get Mike if you can ever find him in the middle of the forest.
He's I don't think I can find him enough. I mean, He doesn't even answer us on the tech group message anymore, so I don't think there's any point in trying to find him.
Yeah, he's probably eaten by a bear, mistaken for a piece of cheese in Wisconsin.
Which kind of bear?
The San Francisco kind. There's no bears in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I guess to make up for it, I did watch, along with you, not the same time, but, you know, different states, a better movie in the new Wonder Woman.
Yeah, so, I mean, this movie was pretty badass, to say the least.
You know, like, you know, reading a bunch of the stuff that's come out afterwards about the movie and, you know, all the people having, you know, a few hours, I guess, to gather their thoughts and instantaneously react. It's just funny how, like, you know, all the things that the people that are pro Wonder Woman are saying, all this, like, how Wonder Woman's awesome because of this, and Wonder Woman's awesome because of that, and how Wonder Woman has, like, one of them is, like, how Wonder Woman has color, even, like, in London and on the battlefield, and it's, like, it's pretty sepia there. I mean, there might have been a wisp of color, but, you know, everything that you're saying that was shitty about Batman versus Superman, you're trying to, like, oh my god, Wonder Woman is way different and way awesome. And it's like, it kind of seemed the same, little at least later parts of the movie, but
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really. It's definitely a serious tone movie still, just like the other ones. I still felt it was in the realm. Was it a little bit more lighthearted? Yes, it was. I think they probably did a little bit of a better job bringing things back out of the dark. But I think it was still a really good movie. It was really entertaining to watch.
Definitely. I mean, they definitely got the, I guess, the spirit and attitude of Wonder Woman down pretty well. I felt like I was actually watching a realistic, as much as a realistic about a fictional character could be, portrayal of Wonder Woman, more so than, you know, the Superman, how there's like, you know, four different Supermans, you know, in pulp culture as far as like either movies or TVs, and they all kind of act different depending on how they want it to go. And so, you know, the fact that I guess Zack Snyder didn't have as much say in this movie as he did in the other ones, because they kind of like Deadpool, they gave the director a lot more creative control, I guess, as long as the picture was in the movie at some point. They let her do whatever she wanted and didn't really bother her, so she was able to make the character into what she wanted and tell the story she wanted.
Yeah.
And so, but as of now, I guess, according to what I've read online, as is DC's standard operating procedure, which may hurt them in the end, because this was her first major motion picture directing, they only signed her on for a one-movie deal. But they've already announced that they're doing a sequel. So whether or not the same director gets signed on and whether they give it the same amount of freedom because it's, you know, done much better than they expected it would, we'll have to see, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be disappointing if the director didn't come back and do the movie. I mean, it was just well told. I mean, I think I really liked how they set up the story and how it was definitely like a flashback to the of how she came to be Wonder Woman, and how she was like young and naive, and it was really great to see like, hey, this is a young hero that makes mistakes and doesn't see the world how it is, and then you kind of see how it's led her to the Wonder Woman of Batman versus Superman. And I think people just need to chill out if they didn't like it. I mean, I haven't really heard anybody say anything bad about it, but I think it was just overall just really solid.
You know, a lot of the people that are complaining about the movie are just nitpicking, and it seems like a lot of the nitpicking is just from people who have only remember like the Wonder Woman that they read from their childhood and haven't read comic book in years, or they just read one story and one origin and that's all they know. You know, I mean, it's similar with all the superhero movies that they've had, where that's not the Captain America I know, or that's not the Iron Man I know. So I guess the fact that she's getting that kind of criticism in this movie is kind of letting everybody know that more people are watching it than I guess would have in the past.
Yeah.
And from the reading the demographics, the people that went to saw the movie, like it did really well as far as like attendance in every group except like men from like the young man age range from like 18 to 34. So I guess it's still showing that I guess men can't accept a woman hero.
So wait, you're telling me 18 to 40 men didn't want to go see the movie or didn't like it?
The younger ones than that, because once you get over, like, you know, in your mid-30s, nobody cares about you as far as advertising goes.
I mean, what a bunch of dumbasses. I mean, come on, she was super easy on the eyes. Like, she's a fucking fox, to say the least.
Right, and you know, that's the other thing, too. A lot of the people that were originally, like, pissed about Gal Gadot being cast as Wonder Woman, and even so, during the whole Batman versus Superman movie and all that, complaining about that movie, and they're still sticking with their guns. And, you know, and then this movie comes out, all of a sudden a lot of those people are like, well, maybe we were wrong about Gal Gadot. She makes a pretty decent Wonder Woman. She handled it. She did the character well. So, and they're like, yeah, maybe this is the one thing DC's done right. Mm-hmm. So they're, I guess they're willing to concede that point, that maybe Gal Gadot wasn't the worst choice for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, I think she played the part well. I mean, she was, to me, it was well casted. I mean, she had the dark hair, she had the good look. I think the way she acted and how, I think she convinced that she was concerned about the world, and she was very, like, strong, but nurturing. I mean, she played Wonder Woman. Like, I don't know how you would say she did a terrible job.
Right. I mean, she definitely was someone who put, you know, the well-being of the world and her duty as an Amazon above the intentions of the tribe necessarily. She took it very seriously what the Amazonians' role in the world was, even if the other Amazonians were kind of like, eh, it's not our problem. Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely. You know, they've announced a sequel. Gal Gadot's already signed on. I don't know when this movie's going to take place, if it's going to take place, you know, after what's going on currently, if it's going to be another, like, prequel sequel where it's, you know, maybe World War II or something, but there's lots of rumors going around already, and, you know, they haven't even announced anything. They don't even have a director, but I guess that's what nerds love to do, is take the smallest amount of information and try to extrapolate as much data out of it as they possible, even if nothing is remotely accurate that they're saying.
Yeah. When does Justice League come out? Is that the end of this year?
Yeah, it's November, October, somewhere around there. It's the end of the year, but, you know, I guess it's funny because recently Zack Snyder stepped aside from the movie, and another director is going to finish it for him. Mm-hmm. And they're, everyone's like, oh my God, this movie's going to be so much better because Zack Snyder isn't going to be finished doing the movie. And they're like, but the movie's already been made. Everything they're doing right now is just post-production stuff, you know, editing. The movie comes out November 17th.
Okay, and yeah, I mean, there's nothing to film right now, really.
There might be a couple reshoots here and there, but nothing major. Everything now is just, you know, filling it, coloring in the green screen stuff and putting the movie in order. So, I mean, the sepia tones are already going to be there. And there's Joss Whedon is the director that stepped in.
Yeah.
To take his place because Snyder stepped away because his daughter committed suicide.
Yeah.
In, you know, at the beginning of the year. And originally he thought, you know, maybe finishing the movie will be kind of like to help him deal with it and just to kind of give him something to focus on. But I guess, you know, he needed some time with his wife and just to kind of work on it that way. So, I mean, it sucks that happened, and it sucks that the people are like, yes, Zack Snyder stepped away. And it's like, well, you know why he stepped away, right? And it's like,
yeah.
Well, maybe she watched Batman versus Superman and just couldn't take it anymore. Hey, those aren't my words, man. I'm just saying what I've read on the internet.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Ruthless bastards, man. No respect.
I mean, I'm not going to say if they're right or wrong. I'm just passing no judgments past here. Just saying what's being said.
Yeah. I mean, I expect him to step away because his heart's probably not in the movie anymore, you know? And he probably didn't want to be just do something. He knew, like, hey, like, he probably didn't like being there anymore. He probably didn't like working and wasn't into it. And I get why he stepped, and I think it's respectable that he did.
Oh, no. I think it's perfect, and it's really cool that, you know, Joss Whedon stepped in, you know, because he's...
He is the enemy, technically.
Really, he is. You know, he's doing all the Marvel movies, and I would say maybe he's going to sabotage the Justice League, but I don't know. But from what everyone's complaining about Batman versus Superman, I think Snyder's been doing a pretty good job of that on his own.
I don't know. I think it's a little over the top that people don't like it, so... But, oh well. Fuck them.
Exactly. I mean, overall, I didn't think it was a horrible movie. I just thought, you know, the villain didn't look anything like it did in the comic, and it was kind of weird, but
yeah,
there was stuff in the movie I did like, and it made sense for the story, that the way the characters have been presented, you know, like, you know, similar to the, you know, the Marvel movies. They're not the same characters there in the comics. They don't have the same motivation. So, you know, when people complain about why are they doing that, it's like, well, their motivation has always been the same through the movies. I mean, it's different in the comics, but it's still the same as it has always been in the movies.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So, but yeah, I mean, it was a fun movie. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil anything necessarily, but at the end, if you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it yet, you'll be on the lookout for it. There's a scene where Wonder Woman's kind of stepping out of a building, and, you know, she's looking, and she looks over and sees a couple, and they start making out. And, you know, kissing. And then she looks over and there's another couple and they start kissing. And then she looks over again and there's a man with a toddler child. And he the man is just the toddler child, and I'm thinking in my mind as this is happening, I'm like, oh my god, are they gonna make out? That would be amazing. But no, that didn't happen. So, no. You know, if you haven't seen the movie or you see it again, just keep that in mind. Unfortunately, they don't make out, so you can put your erection away.
Yeah, Jesus. Danny, over here. Can't handle it. And then, and there's no, there's nothing after the movie trailer, so don't, when the credits come out, just leave.
Right, we stayed, but we had heard, but, you know, I guess it's a habit now.
You can't trust the internet, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's that MC Chris sketch on one of his earlier CDs, and they were talking about an upcoming movie and, like, trying to discuss it with no spoilers, and one of the guys is like, yeah, there's supposed to be a sting at the end of the movie, and they're like, no, don't talk about that. No spoilers. Like, I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying there's a sting. And they're like, now people who weren't going to stay for the end of the movie are going to, because you told them there's something for them to wait for at the end.
That's okay to tell the people. I feel like that's not a spoiler. I think we were doing everybody a service.
Yes, because, I mean, anymore with the movies, you know, especially, like, you know, these superhero movies, there's a lot of special effects and green screens and super and stunt people and assistants to the assistants and caterers.
Yep.
The credits are, like, 15 minutes long, 20 minutes long, so we're saving you some time.
Yeah, we are.
Because with, you know, with trailers and the movie, it's about a three-hour experience you're dedicating to sit in the theater for, almost. So if possible, get one that has reclining seats so you can at least be comfortable.
Always get the reclining seats.
So rich girl over there.
No, I have not even been in. I've never been to a movie theater with reclining seats, so I guess I'm a hypocrite.
Well, you are. You do live in Ohio. I'm sure they don't even know what reclining seats in movie theaters are.
That's probably fair. I mean,
does your theater have more than two?
So I could sit in the movie theater by myself.
Does your theater have more than two screens?
Yes, it does, you bastard.
Do you have to drive more than an hour to get to it?
No, I don't. How dare you? I live in a good area. I don't want to hear it. There's people, not a lot, but there's people.
There's almost as many fans as we have on the show. Dozens of them.
Dozens, exactly. Half dozens.
Yes.
I was going to introduce that you got to go to not a Comic Con, but a fantastic little art show.
Right. A couple years ago, we were at what I thought originally was just an anime convention, and I, you know, show up. It wasn't at the fairgrounds for the LA County Fair. And so we roll up for what I thought was an anime convention and going into park, and, you know, my wife and I are looking around, and we're the only non-Asian people under the age of, like, 50. And I'm like, all right, this is a hip crowd for anime. So, and then I'm like, thinking about, like, wait, am I in the right place? And so we get up to the front, and we, you know, ask the parking person as we're paying to park. I show her the ticket. I'm like, this is where we're supposed to be, right? This isn't something else. They're like, no, this is the right place. And so to come to find out, it was like a huge, like, Asian American expo. They had, you know, food trucks and all this stuff. And so while we were there, we ran into this at the anime expo part. We ran into this booth. There was a booth there for this place called Fan Alley. And so basically, this lady, she runs it. And she had a shop in Anaheim at one point where local artists would basically co-sign their work to her. So she would, at the show there, so she had a bunch of different artists there for people who either don't have the time because they work real jobs, or they just don't have the money to get into conventions. She'll get one table, and she'll sell whoever she has there at the time and take a cut of their money. Which, you know, I guess if you're not going to sell as much or unsure if you're going to sell, you know, it's not a bad deal because it's not cheap to get into cons all the time. And so if you're already, you know, they're not putting any money out of their pocket up front and hoping to make it up. They're whatever they sell. And so she does a bunch of art shows here and there. And so this last weekend was the first time since then that I've been able to make it to one. And so it was a tribute to one of the artists that worked on Lilo and Stitch.
Oh,
And so basically, like, all the people that showed up, they had a bunch of Lilo and Stitch type art, or, and everyone was kind of, it was like tropical themed. And so there was one guy there, Peter Paul. He did some of the storyboard stuff for the How to Train Your Dragon cartoon and the Lilo and Stitch 2. It wasn't as big as I thought it would be. They probably had, like, they had more, on their Facebook page, they had a bunch of, like, flyers made up for the, like, digital flyers, basically, for Facebook of all these different artists that were going to be there. But a lot of the artists, I guess it was just basically their work was going to be there. So they had one table where they had multiple artists. And there was a couple artists that I follow on Facebook, and one of them that I met at, had a... I met at WonderCon, and she was going to do a commission for me. And so I thought that she was going to be there and have a table there. So we get there and we're kind of walking around and don't see her. And as we're talking, I look over and a couple of them, they come walking up. And I guess they said they were going to be there, but they just were there as attendees. As I mean, you know, as opposed to presenters.
Nice.
But it was cool, though. I mean, no, because we got to talk to them for a little bit, like, and it was a little bit better being able to talk to them this way because nobody was necessarily coming up to interrupt them to look at their work. So we got to talk to them for a while. Catherine Avalos is one of them, and the other is Christian Hapa Lau. They're really cool people. They're really nice. And so they had spent the day before that at the City of Hope Hospital, a children's hospital for kids that have cancer. And there was them and a couple other artists. They were doing sketches all day for the kids. They had a picnic for them, and as part of the picnic, they had artists, and the kids could come up and ask any of the artists to draw something for them. So completely understandable is why they didn't have a booth there and why they just showed up to kind of hang out. So, I, you know, you can't be mad at them doing a worthy cause, but, you know, I'm looking forward to maybe going to attending more shows for the – that the Fan Alley people do. I kind of felt bad. You know, I didn't really buy a lot of art this time. I bought from a couple different people. But, you know, and I'm sure you're kind of suffering from the same thing where, you know, we've been to a bunch of conventions and we bought a bunch of art. We're kind of running out of space and things that we haven't necessarily bought for new art, right?
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm going to do anymore. I mean, I don't think I buy nearly as much stuff when we go to cons anymore, and I don't know if it's just because I haven't been. I just feel like I've gotten a lot more picky, and usually, like, it has to be something really interesting or a really a style I haven't really seen before I buy it, because, yeah, you're right. I think I'm getting filled up with the stuff, and, I mean, hell, I got plenty of comic book boxes that I don't even know what the hell I'm going to do with either.
Right, so, like, the same way with you, like, if I see something... And if I'm going to buy something, I guess it either has to be something that stands out for its originality or just something that one artist is doing. And maybe if enough people buy from that one artist, then other artists will be like, hey, this is selling pretty well. I'll do my own version of it. You know, like going around at different things I've seen at the one anime show that I went to in Ontario. Like only one booth had Persona 4 stuff. And yeah. So I made sure to buy some of that, just, you know, as a thank you for still repping, you know, P4, even though 5 was coming out soon, nobody had 5 yet, but only one person still had 4. Everyone else was kind of over it or moving on to the newest thing that was hot at the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's definitely some fan stuff out there that it's really nice to see people actually pick up, you know. And I mean, it's just there's some stuff that's just way too hard that seems like you can never find anywhere, and I think Persona 4 was one of them. Maybe we just missed the bandwagon, but and we jumped on the bandwagon late, but no, it's always fun to see some stuff. And I think it comes down to, like, sometimes animes that aren't really popular, but we really love them. When you see something there with that, you're just like, oh, I got to get this. That's awesome.
Right. I mean, because everyone's doing, like, the super popular, you know, Attack on Titan, you know, Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, you know, just shit that nobody watches.
Well, a lot of people watch just But they're turkeys with their mouth open in the rain, so it happens.
Exactly, you know, follow the crowd. But I guess that's what's selling. That's what's selling. You can't blame the artist for
trying to make a living.
Try to make a buck, but you know, if you have all the stuff that everybody else has, like you go to the, you know, a lot of the booths, you know, you go to one booth and it's like, wow, okay, you have these shows, and you go to the booth next to it and it's like, wow, this style is interesting, and you look and it's like, okay, it's the same characters from the same shows, just drawn in a different style. And then you go a couple booths down, you might see some new stuff here, some new stuff there, and then you go down and it's a different style, but it's still the same artist. And at some point, do you really need, you know, 8 11 by 17 prints of the same character, but just drawn in different style? Or do you hit up the first two and not buy anymore?
Are we really ones to complain about that?
I guess I'm only complaining because the one character that I really like that nobody draws and is unavailable.
That is fair.
It's either unavailable or actually kind of looks like shit for the most part.
Yeah, that is true. So if you guys don't know, Danny always gets Huntress, and I tend to always get Red Sonja. Some of our favorite characters that are just never anywhere, because they're just not mainstream enough.
Right, because, you know, I guess just because the Huntress is Batman and Catwoman's daughter doesn't mean she's part of the Bat family, figuratively, only literally.
It happens, man. It happens.
Right, and so we end up, you know, getting a couple, we end up having to get commissions done as opposed to buying prints, and so we end up getting, I guess, less number of arts per show, but spending more number of monies per show.
Exactly. Something like that. I think it has to do with travel. That's why we spend more money, because we're traveling. It's not just an easy con around the corner anymore.
No, and, you know, I guess we plan ahead, but still, you know, it'd be nice to, like, just get, like, a print or two, as opposed to going up to the artist and saying, oh, wow, you don't have any Huntress prints. Oh, you like the Huntress? I'll do a commission.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I like your art style. You can do a commission for me.
You bastard. Maybe you should have just had a Huntress already.
Right. You know, like, I don't know. It's just funny that, you know, when somebody has the full, like, Bat family on a print, all, like, 100 people, except for the Huntress. They even have Catwoman on there, and it's like, Catwoman? Really? That's her mom.
You can't win, man. You just can't win with this.
No, I can't. I guess I just need to get a better character or something. I don't know. I should just go mainstream and like
Harley
Batgirl
Quinn.
Or Harley Quinn. Oh, that's or like Harley Quinn and Deadpool. One of us. We should flip a coin and see who gets Harley Quinn and who gets Deadpool.
Because
that's everywhere.
I don't want to play this game.
it's like Russian roulette where there's the exact number of bullets as there are holes in the chamber for us to play with.
Nobody wins.
So, I heard you were going to a convention this weekend too. How was that?
I don't know if I want to play this game either. So, I made the mistake, and when I was planning my activities, I somehow thought that the Saturday of Colossal Con and the Saturday that I had to work were different Saturdays, and it seemed right in my head until literally 3 days before the con, and I totally fucked over everybody that was gonna go, and nobody ended up going. So A, I'm a dick, but B, I'm a hipster, because like people want to follow me places. So
is that what hipsters are? I thought hipsters were people that nobody wanted to emulate. a trend setter.
Maybe it's a trendsetter.
Hipsters seem to, the whole point of being a hipster is to do something because it's not a trend, as opposed to setting a trend.
Fine, trendsetter, whatever, you know. I do what I want. God. But no.
Apparently you do.
Yeah, I do. But I heard it was pretty fun. I heard it was really big and really packed. But again,
would you say it was colossal?
People from Ohio are not used to a lot of people in one space, so still not sure how big it is, but it sounded like a great time, and I am super disappointed that I didn't go. But on the plus side, I didn't spend any money, so more stuff to buy at Anime Expo.
So basically what you're saying is, like, you know, when people who have only been in Ohio complain about traffic, and you're like, I'm from California, this isn't traffic, are the same people that were like, have never been to a convention like in a major city and only in Ohio, and are like, wow, that convention was really, really crowded. And then you like find pictures of it online and you look and you're like, that is no way as crowded. Is that basically what you're hypothesizing?
That's what I think, but, you know, I didn't see it, and, I mean, it was a four-day con, and people do travel to go to this con, so it sounds like it is a pretty big deal, and I think I'm going to try not to screw up and go to it next year. Or try to screw up and go to YomaCon in this November, October, whatever it is. Hopefully I won't screw that up either. But no
problem. No, that sounds... That sounds like it's more fun too, because it's in Detroit. I think the odds of you getting shot or mugged or both are exponentially increased.
Hey, it's in the nice part in Detroit. Don't give me that shit.
I've seen enough RoboCop to know that there's no nice part of Detroit.
Fair enough. So I'm sure as you went to your art show, you hipster, you decided to go get some beer as well, right?
Yes. Well, I you know, as being part of the Bottle Logic beer club by doing the adventure quest I did in March.
You snotty son of a bitch.
Exactly. That's the hipster right there. I had to go pick up the latest release for the month of their collaboration. It's their barrel-aged beer that they're pretty much famous for. They partnered up with a coffee company, so I had to go pick that up, because the last day to pick that up is this upcoming Sunday, which coincidentally enough, on Friday and Saturday is the next day for me to purchase the beer for next month, which is a barrel-aged honey mead ale, which actually sounds pretty good. But while I was at Bottle Logic this time, because I waited an extra week, I missed out on the bottle release that I picked up being on tap. People drank that all up before I got there.
Yeah, they did.
So they tapped a new beer, and it was their, which I'm surprised, and I liked it actually, and I'm surprised because everything about it just seemed like something I would hate. It was their sour beer, which I don't like, aged in gin, which I don't like, with blueberries and the, you know, finishing fermentation, which. That actually made it good. Like the blueberries kind of balanced out the sour a little bit, and the sour kind of balanced out the whatever the shit that fucking flavor gin is.
Well, I'm glad that a bunch of weird shit came out okay for you.
Right. I mean, like, I didn't buy a full glass. I didn't want to commit. I just bought a taster, but I don't know if I could have drank a full glass, but it's definitely a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I've drinking much worse beers that I thought would be much, much better. So at some point, I guess the universe is going to balance itself out with false promises and unexpected surprises.
It will, man. It will.
It hasn't gotten there yet, right?
Every once in a while, you get a diamond in the rough. I don't know what you find in shit besides more shit, so I couldn't come up with a better analogy for that.
Exactly. I guess you find that truffle in the pile of shit.
Yeah, maybe. that might work. Sometimes you find a truffle in a pile of shit.
But yeah, so, you know, that's why we, I guess, try beers that we don't necessarily think we will like, because sometimes it works better than we thought it would.
Yes.
Sacrifices.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the wonderful part about it. And the worst thing is when you have a beer that has a great combo and name and you try it, it's just terrible. The letdown is just too much. Like, at least if you know, like, you're walking into a beer you know you're probably not going to like. Like, you're not surprised, you're not hurt, you're not betrayed. You're like, all right, it just didn't work like I thought.
It's like going on a date with a chick that someone like really hypes up, and you get there and they were wrong and you're just disappointed, versus going into like a blind date with zero expectations and you can only be, you know, surprised and happy as opposed to let down at any point.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably the best way to put it.
And So, yeah. So, I'm just... But especially with Bottle Logic, they're one of the breweries that I'm willing to try some of their experimental stuff because they tend to meet at least the flavor descriptions on their beers. They don't lie about what's in the beer. If they say it's going to taste like blueberries, it actually tastes like blueberries. Mm. So it was definitely like a calculated risk on that one.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I know you were talking before the show. There's a new game coming now called Magic the Gathering, and it's going to be an MMO. So I know me and you have thrown down some cards before, but what the hell is this MMO all about?
So far, like from what I've read, it's just an announcement that they've partnered up with a studio to make the game. The studio they partnered up with is Cryptic Studios. They've made such games that I've never heard of as City of Heroes, City of Villains, Champions Online, and then a couple that I've heard of that I've never played, but I guess I know people that have played are Star Trek Online and Neverwinter.
I thought I had hope when we talked it when you mentioned it earlier, and I feel like I have no hope now.
I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic because the people that I do know that play Star Trek Online do like it, but they're also like super hardcore Trekkies. So I don't know if they actually like the game or if they're just happy that they could, you know, do things inside the Star Trek universe. Whether or not it's fun or good or not, they just get to like pilot Star Trek ships and be, you know, Star Trek captains.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I don't know if I trust those damn Trekkies.
Exactly. I mean, they're Star Trek fans. How can you be a Star Trek fan when Star Wars exists? They're already wrong there.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even know how you even build a fucking MMO out of that card game either. Like, is it just the theming and the lore behind it then?
Well, like, you know, reading some of the speculation because, you know, like, basically, you know, you have your Avatar, the Last Airbender style of Planeswalkers, where everyone basically is an element.
Yeah.
Including the element of death, apparently, or swamp. But,
my swamp water.
So, you know, if people were talking about maybe you can, you know, play as a Planeswalker and go around and conquer the world, but there's not very many Planeswalkers, so I'm wondering maybe if it's like, when you pick the game, you pick a Planeswalker to basically like just to intern under or to like follow their disciple.
Yeah.
You know, so like you pick Jace and now all of a sudden you're like, you know, part of you're a waterbender. You know.
No. You just bend cards out of the other person's pile and make it to where every time they do something you say no.
Exactly. You tilt them. But yeah, so like whether or not you actually get to play as Jace or the other Jace, or the different Jace that they made, or that other Jace where he's blue and white, you know, just so that they could sell more cardboard to people who like cards with the word Jace written on it.
Yeah.
Or if you get to, or you're going to play as someone who's disciple of the blue magic, is yet to be seen. But I'm actually kind of hoping that you don't play as the Planeswalkers, because that would be kind of lame if, with it being an MMO and you're running around and you run into like, you know, 18 Chandras, and it's like, I thought the Planeswalker was supposed to be special. Like, not everyone's a Planeswalker.
I don't know about that. When we get into video games and heroes, everybody gets to be the hero.
Right, but it's you're not, like, the god hero. Like, you know, with Final Fantasy XIV, when you start the game, you pick a god, and you kind of, but you play as, like, an adventurer who has special abilities, not, like, a god. You pledge allegiance to the god, not being the god. So I'm hoping that that's the case, where it's like adventurers who decide to go, and you're either from the land that the Planeswalkers are from, or just pledge allegiance to them and then go fight in their name, are granted special powers.
From
so
down under.
Exactly, a man, a plan, a canal, Panama. That's a palindrome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I hope it turns out. I think the lore isn't bad at all. So, I mean, I'd be disappointed if they screw it up.
Right. I mean, it'd be very, very difficult for them to screw it because, you know, I'm sure, you know, Wizards of the Coast is going to be there with them to make sure that they get the cards right and do the different abilities right and do the different stuff. And so, you know, there's the games that right now that are on the Xbox and the PlayStation. A lot of people are unhappy with those just because you don't get to build your own decks, and the card pool is, you know, at least in the earlier versions, were more limited. But
yeah,
you know, those games were never meant to be like Magic the Gathering Online, which has like all of the cards and you can make your own decks and you can compete against random people, and they actually have tournaments, like sanctioned tournaments and stuff. You know, the original video games were more just basically made to make Magic accessible to people that have never played the card game, and to get people to like, ooh, this game looks like fun. Now I can go play the real cards.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, get them to go to game stores and buy the cardboard and, you know, realize that they can't have both. They can't have money for video games and Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. They can't have all the nice things.
No, especially if you want to play Magic the Gathering, you know, like, I saw a meme a while ago and it was like, you know, you should teach your kids to play Magic the Gathering because then they'll never have money for drugs.
That is true. I mean, it's like, you can seriously spend like $400 on the deck.
That's only good for a couple months.
For 3 months, yeah. And then you have to restart over.
Right, well, I mean, not completely. Instead of having to spend the whole $400, you might only have to spend $150 or $200 to replace the handful of cards that are no longer good in that deck to get cards that are now good, but then aren't only good for a little bit longer. So that's why, you know, the Eternal formats like Commander are more fun. But even then, people made that not fun by trying to make that super competitive. And so a lot of the good Commander cards are super expensive just because people make it so we can't have nice things and want to be super serious about everything and just not have fun.
Yeah, it happens. It'll be all right, though.
And so, I mean, if you're not familiar with Commander real quick, that's like a format that was made just basically like when people were sitting around at tournaments and had nothing else to do. They'd take like one card and put it in a deck up to 99 cards, and they pick a legendary creature and match those colors to the legendary creature. And it was just supposed to be fun and a time killer as opposed to a tournament sanctioned thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, you know, this video game, this announcement comes at as a little bit more announcements are coming for different games, because E3 is coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, super exciting. I think it's one of the greatest times to be a gamer and to see what's coming up. And honestly, I have some pretty high expectations. Obviously, I know that some games are probably not coming out this year and they won't be out till next year, but I just want to hear about it. You know, I just want to know, like, it's in the works. So I know, like, Dragon Age, the Inquisition's been out a while. They've been talking about, there's kind of been some rumors about the next game coming up. I know we had Mass Effect already launch. I want to hear something about Dragon Age. And then the other franchise I want to hear about is Elder Scrolls. I definitely want to, what's after Skyrim? I mean, we had Fallout 4 do its thing and whatnot, but man, I'm ready for those two games.
Right, and you know, like, as exciting and awesome as E3 can be, it's also kind of a letdown too, because it very much feels like you're watching like the presidential debates or something like that, where there's just a lot of like promises and a lot of teasers, and they show trailers for games, and you know, there's a lot of games that are shown at E3, you know, 2 years ago or last year that they're going to talk about again at this E3 just to show more information. Like the God of War game is one of them. They showed a teaser at last year's E3, and now they're going to show more of it at this year's E3. And it's like, well, why are you building it up so much? Why don't you just, I don't know, make it and sell it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just some of those big name titles that they want to get out there. And I would be pretty interested to see if they release anything about the expansion pack or what about, what's it called? All right,
Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yes, thank you. Horizon Zero Dawn. Just with how great that game is. And I know they were talking about making some expansion packs for it.
Right, and that's actually the one thing I'm really, like, most looking forward to, just because I, you know, would love to have more stuff to do in that world, another reason to revisit the characters in the world and just have something new to do as opposed to just replaying the story, which, you know, if I had nothing else to do, I would definitely do that anyways. So, I mean, it's not like that's a bad thing necessarily, but to give us the additional motivation to go back in and pop that game in the world and just run around and shoot some robots in the face with my bow and arrow.
Yeah, it was a fun game to play. I think that would be fun. I mean, Destiny already did their announcement, so I'm not really expecting anything new to come out of E3 about that. I'm sure we'll hear something about some kind of... We'll probably see a little bit more of Mario from Nintendo. It'd be interesting to see what else Nintendo talks about with their Switch. I think that's it, though. I think we're going to see a lot of just more newer games and maybe some other titles that they've been really kept locked up on that we're not going to expect to see yet until E3 comes around and they tell us, hey, we're actually working on this game that everybody forgot about.
Right, and, you know, reading stuff, I guess, you know, nobody's found anything about as far as what Sony's going to do. There's no leaks as of yet, which, you know, that's surprising because it's, you know, less than, you know, it's this weekend as opposed to, you know, a couple weeks away. You know, people always slip up or somebody internally lets something out as far as, like, hinting at what they're going to talk about. Microsoft said they're not going to talk about Halo 6, but apparently by them saying they're not going to talk about it, that doesn't mean that they're not going to make it, which... You know, I was hoping something better from Microsoft as far as exclusives, because they definitely need a boost. Sony is definitely kicking their ass this console generation as of now with the exclusives. So that's the other thing I was really hoping for, was Microsoft to come out and have some decent exclusives other than, you know, Halo franchises that... Right, Halo, Forza, you know, games that are almost, you know, rounding to the nearest 10 or almost in the double digits.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be nice to see something with Microsoft, but, I mean, I'm not keeping my hopes up, to be honest. I think we'll probably get... I bet we'll see more stuff about Battlefront, and we'll see other random stuff that we're not going to be overly excited for.
Right, and, again, I don't know if this is rumor or how true this is, but apparently... Nintendo was supposed to announce a sequel for their Nintendo Classic console, but this one with Super Nintendo games.
Interesting.
So, you know, maybe they listened to the people and put some of the more popular games on there, and the controllers are a little bit longer, so you don't have to, you know, sit in front of your TV, because, you know, TVs have gotten a little bit bigger since the original Nintendo and, you know, Super Nintendo have been released. So you don't have to sit right in front of it to see the tiny little characters. You can actually sit on your couch or a little bit further away and experience the whole game from afar.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a good time regardless, and I'm excited to see where this goes.
Right. So, you know, starting this weekend into next week, they'll have all the different presentations, and so next week definitely expect to hear a full report on what we have seen and what we think as far as what's going on in the world of E3 and video games.
Yeah, and I would say expect the podcast to be out maybe a little bit later on Friday. We'll probably do just with my work schedule and me traveling, we probably won't be able to get a good record until Friday morning or Friday afternoon, so we'll be out a little bit later than normal next week, but we will still be out on Friday.
Promises.
Hey, I swear, I've always released on Friday. I might not make it to a Comic-Con, but I will for sure get this podcast published.
now you've jinxed it. Way to go, jerk.
It happens.
It wouldn't be the first time, right? It wouldn't be the first time. It
wouldn't be the first time I let somebody down. We also have some new swag that we've been working on. So for the last month, We have been working on some stickers and some shirts. They're finally in. We can say that we have them. We're definitely going to look at trying to get stickers out to everybody. We do have a good chunk of shirts. So if you are interested, hit us up on Facebook and let us know what size you are. If you're interested in getting one, we'll definitely try to hook up. First come, first serve, though. We don't have many in stock. And we're definitely going to be looking at passing out some of these stickers and passing out some of these shirts out during Anime Expo as well.
Definitely. We'll see if we give away more than a couple shirts through the Facebook giveaway, as opposed to and then how many we have to give away at Anime Expo.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. If you guys are excited about E3, let us know on Facebook what you're looking forward to. Hit us up on anything that you see during E3 that you want us to talk about. I know me and Daniel will be watching almost everything that we can on there, and we'll definitely have a fun show next week.
Definitely. And also give us rate us on Podbean and iTunes to, you know, hopefully get the more ratings we get, the more reviews we get, the more, I guess, to the forefront of the world of those sites that we might be brought to the attention of more people. That would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, we want to spread our influence as far as we can. We want everybody. We want more people to be annoyed with us.
Exactly. We want to be like. We want to be like the Rock.
We want instead to be of like saying the clap, it goes around and everybody gets to enjoy it.
It's like we want to be like herpes, the gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Thank you guys for hanging out with us, Danny. It's been a pleasure.
As always, everyone, see you next week.
Bye.